You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's Dr. Daryl Orman with today's message.
Amen. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we do believe that not only your grace is enough, but all of your provisions and everything you give us and provide for us and the way you take care of us. And Almighty God, we just want to honor you today and tell you we love you. We're grateful for every single thing you do for us. And Lord, we want to ask you please to take your word this morning and open it and illuminate it in each of our hearts and lives. And Lord, just show us your will, your design, your intelligence for our stewardship, for our giving, our saving, our financing. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless every person that's listening today. Give us new insights. And Lord, just strengthen us and encourage us and use us for your honor and glory. And we just want to tell you we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, wave at everybody, give them a big greeting and say hello. And then if you're outside, honk at us if you're driving church, and we're glad you're here today. Please be seated. And I'm going to go ahead and hit the announcements today. It's an older version of the announcements today. And so I want to begin by just encouraging you for life groups. And then if you're our guest today, if you can fill out this form and place it in the offering plate with the information, that'll help us to get to know you and minister to you in a more effective way. And then life groups, if you can participate in our life groups, that's the best way to get to know the life of the church and the people of the church. And there's such community with our life groups and provision. If you have an illness, if you have a loss in the family, these life groups will provide meals and care and concern. One of our ladies was placed in an invalid situation for several months, and her ladies' life group came and they read scripture to her every day. They brought her 2-3 meals a day and took care of all of her needs for several months. One of our younger moms went to be with the Lord last fall, and our family provided for them as well. Hey, Lee, what you got cooking? So, is everyone comfortable right now? Okay, we got another AC issue. If you're not, take your coat off, but not your shirt, okay? Not your shirt, just your coat. Although that might increase, you know, attendance next week, I don't know. Welcome, or maybe not, it might decrease it. And so there, if you look inside, there's some information about our life groups, and we've been highlighting different life group leaders and in our cell, and want to encourage you to read the bios on those. Our seniors are going to worship at the lodge today at 4, great ministry to those who are shut in, and many of them just neglected. My dad was about a year and a half at Solaris. And it's surprising how few of them are visited. And so we want to encourage you to, if you'd like to be a part of that, you can join our little ensemble, our senior ensemble, and go sing, and there'll be a message. And then our choir rehearsal for the 4th is today. And you say, well, I don't sing very well. That's the beauty of a choir. it buffers out everything. I mean, in the past, I sang in a choir, and I can't carry a note in a bucket. I'm like a jailhouse singer. I'm behind a few bars and can't find the right key. And, you know, but we could really use you in our choir. And so, is that true, Andrew? Are they willing? There's no tryouts or anything.
No tryouts for choir.
They got to be alive, have a pulse.
You gotta have the spirit.
Have a spirit. You got need to be spiritual.
5:15.
And you need to have breath. And so those two things are a great qualification for our choir. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well for our 4th of July coming up. And then the CareNet, the baby bottles, we're raising money for them with the baby bottles, and want to encourage you to take part in those as well and be involved with them. How many of you received a couple of dimes when you came in today? See, it pays to go to church. Well, I'm going to use these in an object lesson during the message in a little bit, so don't lose your dimes and don't spend them yet, you know, although you can't buy anything with them, but we're going to use those in an object lesson. If you don't have dimes, you might want to do any of you not have a couple of dimes? Raise your hands. Okay. Lee's going to bring them. When you see Lee coming through, raise your hand and he'll drop some change on you. Okay. Very good. Okay. No life group leader meetings this summer. We'll begin again in the fall, from Larry. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, ladies. God bless. That's so true. Absolutely true. We want to release now our children for Children's Church. So if you want to make your way over or not, we've got an experienced crowd today. If any of you teenagers want to go to Children's Church. Okay. Very good. Today I want to speak to you about how to succeed with your finances and what the Bible says about those. And it's interesting that our life is the sum total of all the small parts. Everything, every day, every minute, every day adds up to the sum total. Now, I don't really know of anyone, I don't care how wealthy they are now, how many businesses they own now, that didn't start somewhere along the line exchanging their life for a hourly wage. You know, everybody started somewhere. And, you know, so what happened at that point is we became acclimated and accustomed to 1 hour of our life equating to a certain amount of money. And of course, in our society today, they refer to the minimum wage, and we've had that for years in the country. In actuality, it's not biblical. A person lays their life on the line, their investments, their personal finances to start a business and to take the risk, and most small businesses fail. And then, you know, the government steps in and says, you've got to give everybody this or that or something else. And of course, the more career they are as politicians, the more detached they are from value and reality and diligence and earning as they lay in the government trough. And then they say, well, you know, we can just give anybody anything we want to. And of course, now we've got a dearth in America where there are more people that say, I can't afford to go back to work because the government's sending me all this free money. There's no such thing as free money. It's got to come from somewhere. And so when we think about this and the sum total of all the small parts, here's some reflections on what an hour is worth to different careers, different people. I checked on this for the national average for these different things, and they came from some of the major institutions and societal resources. The average hourly wage of a lawyer is $38.82 an hour. The average hourly wage for a general practitioner doctor is 116 hours. A plumber, $29.98, so basically $30 an hour. A teacher, $14.91, or basically $15 an hour. A handyman, $18 an hour. And a painter, $17.67 an hour. Those are the national averages that each of these career people and what they're doing, what they're on average exchanging 1 hour of their life for as they're going out into society. Now, if you've got your Bible, turn with me and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14. And I'd like for us to read this, look at this passage together. Deuteronomy 14, beginning in verse 22. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. And you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herd, your flock, in order that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That's the purpose of tithing, is to fear the Lord. And fear is not morbid dread. Fear is reverential respect, where we acknowledge him on a weekly basis with the flow of our life, our income, our outgo, and we're acknowledging him in his provision in our life, his presence in our life, the abilities he gives us, and that you may learn the fear of the Lord. And if the distance is so great for you that you're not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away from you, when the Lord your God blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money, bind the money in your hand, and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, or whatever your heart desires. And there you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. And you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your own town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. And that's talking about the priest, that serve the ministry. And so we see this passage in relationship to stewardship and giving and that type of thing. Someone gave me this years ago, and you go to a doctor for an annual checkup and they begin to poke and prod and press various places. Does this hurt? How about this? How about that? And if you crowd in pain, one of two things has happened. Either the doctors push too hard without sensitivity, or more likely, there's something wrong. And the doctor says, we better do more tests. It's not supposed to hurt there. So it is when pastors preach on financial responsibility, especially giving and tithing, when people crowd in discomfort, criticizing the message and the messenger. Through the years, I've had the opportunity to be here since 1992. And as people have visited and come and gone through the years here in South Florida, there's times where they'll hit some of the maybe annual emphasis on tithing and stewardship and our budget and those kind of things, and hit those messages, and they'll come in and there'll be maybe that year one message, and they come that one Sunday and then they leave and they said, all he does is talk about giving, all he does is talk about tithing. Well, you might want to come back a second Sunday. You might hear about Trump or something. You might hear something else. And so we see in relationship to this this idea. And so the question comes up in the statement is, if it hurts you at that point, my friend, you're in need of the great physician, because it's not supposed to hurt there. It's not supposed to hurt there where you're financial and your giving and your recognition of the Lord and that sort of thing. In A.W. Tozer's book, I Talk Back to the Devil, here's what he says. Money often comes between men and God. Someone has said that you can take two small 10-cent pieces, two dimes, and shut out the view of a panoramic landscape. Go to the mountains and hold the two coins in front of your eyes. The mountains are still there, but you can't see them at all because there's a dime shutting off the vision. So I've asked Margaret to look up a scene of these mountains, and I've given each of you two dimes, and so I want you to take your dimes and just hold them right in front of your eyes, and you will see that these two small 10-cent pieces can obscure the Alps, can obscure the great mountain ranges, can obscure our vision. Now, you're to take these dimes and invest them and see what you can do with them. But in relationship to that, that's the case. And in Scripture, it doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. What does it say? You're very educated. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's when your life is consumed with that. We watch Shark Tank on these investors, and Mr. Wonderful is constantly saying, I love money. In fact, he said, I love it the most. That's the thing I love the most. And I don't know anything about his personal life, but I would wonder how solid that could be if his love is only money. And money is a fleeting thing. Money is a temporary thing. Money only relates to this life. Whether you have little or a lot, you leave the little or the lot, you leave it all. And it only relates to this life. And that the person who spends their whole life in pursuit of that is very unwise. Very unwise when you're thinking about eternity, infinity in the future with no end. I've always, through the years, tried to think of how to conceptualize and embrace infinity in the future. If a bird were to fly down and pick up one grain of sand and spend 50 years flying it to the moon and then coming back and picking up another grain of sand to the moon, another grain, by the time the bird took every grain of sand off the face of the earth and took it to the moon, that would be day one in eternity. We cannot get our arms around infinity in the future. And everything we do, every investment we make in the kingdom of God, in the ministry of Christ, in missions, in all of these things, every dollar we give away to people to help them, you buy the homeless person a meal or whatever you do, every single thing like that we do, we are turning it from a temporary thing into an eternal thing. I believe with all my heart, and I think you do too, that when we die and go before God, none of us are going to regret anything that we gave to the kingdom of Christ. Can I hear an amen? What we will look back on and say is, I kept too much. I was too selfish. I expended too much on myself. We were with our grandkids in a parking lot. I referred to this earlier. And my grandson, Caden, looked over at this car next to us. And he said, Grandpa, that car is worth $325,000. And it will go from 0 to 60 in, I think it's 2.9 seconds. Now, why you need to go that fast if you're legal and honest, I don't know. But to invest that kind of money for a ride around town, I saw a car the other day, a special collector SUV type thing that I looked it up, was worth over $500,000. Did you know in a car wreck, those things get bent just like a Honda or a Hyundai or a Kia or whatever? Kias really get bent. They're made with old beer cans. But anyway, I know we had one. We bought one for Shay. She took it to Liberty. They hit it with snowballs and it put dents in it. I wouldn't want to be in it if someone was shooting at you. But the idea of these temporal things that are around us, the disposable things. Now today, how to succeed with your finances. First, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord first. Tithe. Tithe to the Lord. 10%. Acknowledge Him first. With the first, he talks about the first of, this was an agrarian society. They didn't carry around credit cards. They didn't have checkbooks. They didn't have cash. Very little. They had some coinage. Just not much. And so as an agrarian society, cash to them was a sheep, a cow, a goat, you know, those types of things. And they would trade them. They'd trade a chicken, you know, if you wanted to. Probably that would be a more carryable thing. You tie it up and carry a couple of them in your hands, and it's harder to carry a goat. And I'd like to trade this goat for, you know, a bag of barley or something and use it for shopping. But so the first of the herd, the first babies that came of whatever animal it was, the first of the harvest, that first bushel. If there was 10 bushels, these Jewish farmers gave one of the 10 bushels to God. If they had a flock of 10 goats, they gave one of them to God. 10 cows, one of them to God. And this is how they acknowledged, and this is what God prescribed. It's what he told them to do. And we're to give to the Lord first. We're to acknowledge him first. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I've been watching people from this pulpit in this city now for, it's 29 years, since 1992. And I've been watching, and I have seen the patterns of people. I've seen the lives of people, the finances of people. And I've seen that people that put themselves first, a lot of times, especially if they're average folks, middle class or less, that they struggle financially if they put themselves first. They can get a stimulus check and they go buy a flat screen TV or go spend it at Disney and just blow it and just get rid of it. Whereas, well, I see people who are more successful, and in fact, one of our members said, why don't you, Pastor, make an appeal for everybody to give their stimulus checks to God, to give them to Jesus, to the church. And this is a person that's very blessed that recommended that, because their finances are in order and their priorities are correct. And so in this setting, we see that he says first in these first few verses of our passage that we're to tithe, we're to give to the Lord. In fact, that's the first phrase in verse 22. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow. And then he talks about that. And what's interesting is throughout this passage, he talks about where you're to bring your tithe. And it's not mailing it to the televangelist. It's not sending it off. It's to be at your worship place. And he repeatedly refers to that in this passage, where the Lord your God chooses to set his name. Verse 25, which the Lord your God, the place which the Lord your God chooses. And on again, he refers to this, that you're to do that in that way. Next, if you'll look with me, we're to not only give to the Lord first, but we're to give to ourselves second. Give to ourselves second. For years, when we lived over on Ridge Lane, it was wide open, no community group there, no HOA, no housing association. And so I had at least quarterly or sometimes more frequent yard sales. And I would say, and I've talked about this in the past, I haven't talked to it much about it for years because we've lived in places that they say you can't do that. And I would fill our driveway and our garage. In fact, I just went ahead and put shelves in our garage and kept it stocked. And our neighbors called it Orman Mart. And they would come over. And I had neighbors that would, every time we'd have a yard sale from the neighborhood, that would come over and say, I've got to buy something from you, Pastor. God blesses me for doing it. I'm going to buy something. And they'd look around and buy something. Sometimes they were buying stuff that they had thrown away earlier. And when I had a yard sale coming up, I'd drive through the neighborhoods and drag stuff home. And there's days I sold stuff to the neighbors in the neighborhood, and whoever showed up, we put it in the paper and all that. I would sell stuff till 10 or 11 o'clock that we had never owned before. But virtually everything. I remember one time I brought home this Lipton tea dispenser. It's a little bit bent up and dinged up, but it had the beautiful tea wrap around the lemons and iced tea and all that on it. And I looked at it and I said, this thing's just beat up too much. So I took it around the side of the house before the sale and stuck it in the big green rolling dumpster. So the first guy that shows up is one of these guys that looks around at these places, tries to buy the whole yard sale, and whatever he does with it, resell it, take it off. And he looked around and said, do you have anything that's like brand name type items that would be popular? And I said, like what? He said, well, just anything, you know. And I said, well, what about Lipton tea? He said, that would be awesome. And I said, I've got something specially reserved. And I went around there. He didn't see me do it. And I pulled it out of the trash can and brought it around there. And he gave me $25 for it. And, you know, but the idea with that is, we would usually make a couple hundred dollars, and then all the way up to when we were doing furniture and bigger things and all that, sometimes $500 or $600 in a Saturday before lunch. And the first thing I'd do with that, if it's $200, is I'd give 20 of it to the Lord at church. I'd turn it in as part of our tithe. And then I would take $20 of the cash, and we would put it away for cash and for a rainy day. That's the first thing we did. We gave to the Lord and we gave to ourselves. And when you do that and take care of that, it's important. And as I mentioned before, our life is the sum total of all the parts. And as we're taking care of ourselves financially, let me give you some thoughts on this. If we were to take all of the wealth of the world, the several trillion dollars, and divide it up equally among 8 billion people all over the earth, everyone gets exactly the same amount. Within 2 to 5 years, most of that wealth would be gravitating right back where it is now. The wealthy would become wealthy again, the poor would be poor again. And that's why when the disciples chatted about the expensive oil being wasted on Jesus, the perfume, they said, well, this could be used for the poor. And Jesus, our Lord, said, the poor you will always have with you because of mismanagement, because of lack of wisdom. And this is why these patterns happen. Now, I've said this to our youth group one night when I did a Bible study for them. I've shared this at some of our school graduations. There's not a student there that can't retire a millionaire with a basic middle-class income their whole life if they observe certain principles. Now, for most of you, say, well, Pastor, it's too late for me. I'm already past that. But let me share some things with you. We have seniors now that are choosing between food and pharmacy, the food and their medications. Like, I can't afford both of these things. Put the jug of milk back. I've got to have the Eliquist. I've got to have the heart medicine or whatever. And this kind of thing's going on. When we think about our life and the sum total of all the parts, let's start with food, a basic necessity. If you eat out, and most of us do, you either pick up something or you go and eat somewhere. And a lot of times we're averaging several times a week. And let's just say two times a week. If you eat out, if you'll do a couple of things. First of all, use coupons. Kim and I hardly ever eat anywhere. We just came back from Gatlinburg for a week, and first thing we do is gather up each version of those travel books and knock all the coupons out of them of the junk we're going to use. We ate at Corky's, $10 off, Bennett's, 5-10% off, a barbecue, and a couple of other places. I keep a little folder in my car, and it's got, I'm not obsessing over this, I'm not living my life in coupons, but whenever these flyers come, there's one magazine that never has coupons in it, throw that thing out immediately. And don't read the articles, don't look at it, if you're not going to give me some benefit. And so the other one, we go through and knock out the coupons that we use. Now, let's say, for example, that you eat out twice a week, and then you eat at places, and there's many of them that provide these. Here's three natives, buy one, get one half off of an acai bowl. And then here's Burger King, PDQ, $4 off of 20, and so forth and so on. Culver's is real good, and Culver's will accept the coupons even if they're expired, unless they've changed. Chick-fil-A used to do that. Now they don't even accept coupons. It's got to be all digital. But let's say, for example, that you do the $5 off twice a week. That's $10 a week times 52 weeks, $520 a year. Can you buy some medication with $520? Yes or no? Okay, let's say now also too that instead of buying the beverages, you get water with lemon in it. Kim and I do that. Sometimes we'll throw a sweetener in it. Actually, we just, this month is, no matter where we eat out, it's, we're ordering water only. So if you want to invite Kim and I out for dinner, this is the month, lunch or dinner, that you'll get a break on the beverages. They're averaging $3 a beverage. That's $6 a meal, $12 a week on the beverages. And so on that, you're talking about $312 a year beverages. You add that to the $520 from the $5 coupons, and you've just saved $832 a year, and you're still eating out twice a week. Now, to reinforce this, when the service is over, the first 12 of you that come see me, I'm going to give you one of these cards for $5 off of Berry Fresh. So I've got some of these in my pocket, and the first dozen, I'll give them to you till I run out. And you go there, and they were sweet to provide those for us. And so you can do that and start the habit. One of the evangelists that came and spoke for us, and I do this even with the when we're entertaining guests for the church, and this is with church, you know, budget for our speakers and all that, is I whip this out. And one of the evangelists said, "Pastor, of all the pastors I've been with all over the nation, you have the largest coupon folder." And he was goofing with me. He was working me over a little bit. But you look at that and you work on that and you think about those things. There's food now you can order that's shipped to your door and it's seconds. It's like all of it's good, fresh food, but it's like the potatoes that are irregularly shaped that they can't sell in the store because they have to have a quality control. So they pile up tons of these things, and this company gathers them. It may be the cucumber that's irregularly shaped. It's not the exact same oblong length altogether, or carrots that are misshapen and things like that. And same food, fresh food, it's the same stuff you're buying at the store. It's just irregularly shaped. It's a fraction of the cost. And there's so many other things like that that you can do. And you say, well, I've got more income than that. I can do better than that. The people that think that way usually are the ones that wind up running out of money. The wealthy are careful with their money. Now, I've walked Fisherman's Cove knocking on doors. I've walked some of the more lower income areas of our area, of this county, for years, knocking on doors, witnessing, visiting for the church. And I have found, especially Fisherman's Cove and some other places like that, change everywhere. I've filled my pockets with change on the sidewalks, the driveways, the street. Where people will come and they say, "This won't even buy a lottery ticket," and they throw it on the ground. I've knocked on doors in Selfish Point, Sewell's Point. I have never found one skinny penny. I haven't found a thin dime on the ground. The poor throw the money on the ground. The wealthy pick it up. Now, is that not true? Can I hear an amen? You may not know that, but it's true. And a penny is 1% interest on a dollar. Just a thought. But so we look at this, the sum total of all these things. We look at food, clothes. Oh, on the food note, Kim said, "Daryl, I do believe that in our lifetime, you've saved us over $100,000 being so diligent on this." I mean, we're just conditioned to it. Where have we got a coupon or a gift card? Oh, gift cards. Did you know that 10 to 20% of all the gift card values are never redeemed? And there's $1 trillion in gift cards, I think it's every year. That means 100 million to 200 million dollars worth of value are never redeemed. 4% of gift cards are never used. The younger they are, Generation X and Y and the lower ones, they lose them the worst. Up to 39% of them lose their cards. And we use them and then they'll have value on them and then we just won't use them again. I want to encourage you too on that. If you've got gift cards and you don't know how much is on them and this sort of thing, give them to the church. Turn them in. Drop them in the offering thing and give them to the church. We can use them. We buy Cokes for our Coke machines. We do other things. We entertain people and all that sort of stuff. And just turn them in. But we need to use those things. One of the priorities should be for you, if someone gives you a gift card, is try to use that first before you use your cash or before you charge anything. Use it up. Use them up as quickly as you can. Use them as early in your life. You're not going to be any hungrier, any younger than you are today. Tomorrow you're going to be less of an appetite. You're going to be older. And so go ahead and use those as you do. Now, there's clothes. When I'm fishing with through the years, I've introduced a lot of different men to fishing, especially wade fishing, and I encourage them to get technical shirts. Technical shirts are the fishing shirts that have the vents in the pack. They're cooler. They have pockets and loops where you can attach pliers and nets, and you can fill the pockets with different things. And those shirts run anywhere from $35 to $55 a shirt. But if you go to Rag Street or a secondhand, or you go to Salvation Army or whatever, especially in this area, they have those same shirts for $7 each. And sometimes they're brand new. They've got the tags still on them. Brand name, Salt Life or whatever. And so on clothing like that, a couple of our men, one of our deacons and one of our men, they said, "Pastor, we want you to go with us down to Jupiter Salvation Army. They've got some of the best stuff. Those wealthy people are dumping stuff on that store and down in Jupiter. Let's go down there." And, okay, so I went with them. Years ago, I bought a pair of Echo golf shoes, some of the most comfortable golf shoes that I've ever bought right out of the box. They advertise them that way. I got them on sale for $110. They run about $150, $160. And I went down there, and there was three patent leather pairs of Echo shoes, 12 and a half, 13, my size, and they were $7 each. And they said, "Pastor, tomorrow's senior day and we can get half off. They'll be $3.50 each. And we're coming back down." So one of the workers there helped us hide two of the pairs, and I bought one just to, you know, bird in the hand, paid the $7, brought it home. The next day, our two guys went back down there, and someone had found the hidden shoes. They were gone, you know. I mean, I should have just, $7, I should have gotten all three. You know, regrets in life. But we see that these things, and you say, "Oh, I'm too good to go in Salvation Army." I've known affluent people that say, "I'll never go to Walmart." And I said, "Well, you're crazy." you know, everything's cheaper there. You know, it's better to get stuff, the same stuff for a cheaper price. And so we have food, we have clothes, housing, the idea of refinancing your housing. When we first moved here, we bought our first house the church, instead of us living in a church house, which the church doesn't own a house anyway, most pastors across the nation get a housing allowance. And so we bought our first house over on Ridge Lane. And for the first 7 to 9 years, I paid a note and a half. So I paid the house note, and then I added another half to it that all went to principal. And with the geometric progression and doing it early like that, only did it for 7, 8 years or so, we paid off our house in 20 years. completely paid it off. And the idea is it saved us probably about $30,000 or so in interest, which we'll be able to use that for our pharmaceuticals as we get older. We'll be able to buy more legal drugs. Legal marijuana, no. But I'm teasing. But now this will become a thing. I shouldn't have said that. But we've actually had some of the members give us the cream, the marijuana cream, and that stuff is really hard to light. No, I shouldn't have said that either. But no. But in relationship to it, the idea is that our life's the sum total. My son Joshua figured this out when he was in college. They needed printers to print everything. Everything was digital. And when he got to the point where he had to buy the refills on the ink refills, he figured it out that it was cheaper to buy another copier than to buy the refills of ink. So every time the copier ran out of ink, he sold the copier to other students and went and bought a brand new one and basically cashed out even, and has kept doing that. Same thing with your cell phone bills. When you signed up, your internet, your cable television, the average person is paying $112 a month in cable, which that equates over a year to basically $1,400 a year. And you think, well, you know, I got such a good deal on it, and then all of a sudden you look and now it's like doubled, because once you get past the trial period, the first year or two, they double it, and you just keep carrying it on thinking, this is too expensive, but I've already got it. I don't want to change my password. But the idea is for you to renegotiate that, to call them. I had Sirius Radio for a while, and I had the promo, and it was cheap. It was like $59 a year or something. And once that promo period went back, they were starting to hit me for like $20 a month. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. And I called them back. Well, I'm sorry, but you're past the promo. I said, then cancel it. Well, let us get a manager. And they got a manager on, I negotiated, and I got another year for $59. You know, if you pay it right now, well, of course I will. And this type of thing, and if you're diligent in these things, you need to review your insurances for your house, for your car. And now it's so easy with the internet where you can look all those things up. And the steward, it frees up money for you to be able to eat out, buy your medications, give to Jesus, help people. It just can improve your life if you're diligent in these things and don't just rock along with them as you go along. And so that next, number three, we see that we're to give the Lord our worship. We see in verses 23 through 25, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, that you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name. In verse 24, bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away. And then we see again in 25, then you shall exchange it for money and bind the money in your hand and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. And the idea of giving the Lord worship, this shouldn't be a drudgery for you to come here to church at least once a week and worship Jesus. There are people all over the world who are risking their lives and walking 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles to worship Jesus. Before we built the church in Haiti, in Ravine, Normandy, that village at 1,200 feet above sea level, and some of you went and helped us build that, before we did that, the people there had to walk 5 miles down the mountain to worship and then 5 miles back up, and the village was dominated with voodoo. Since we built the church there, there's virtually no voodoo in the village, everybody almost has given their life to Christ. There's a medical clinic there, and now people are coming from the entire region to that village, Ravine, Normandy, and there's a church there that's running twice the size of ours on that mountain because they are giving to the Lord his worship. They're worshiping Jesus. I've been there when they've had special services. They try to get me there for every anniversary. And I've been there for some of the anniversaries. And literally, there would be 3 to 6 choirs there from different regional churches coming there. Each of them in bright yellow and chartreuse and green and purple. And these different tribes, the villages of people singing and worshiping God. And it's so exciting, so thrilling when people give him his worship and they go to the place. You say, well, I don't feel good this morning. I think I'm going to stay home. Of course, these days, I guess with COVID, maybe you should, but no. But, you know, when we go, there was a deaf and blind woman that never missed a Sunday at her church for 25 years. And one time they communicated to her and they said, why do you come? You can't see anything that's happening. You can't hear anything that's happening. She said, I am voting for the Lord against the devil every Sunday. Voting for the Lord against the devil every Sunday. I'm giving him his worship. And there she was, front and center, every Sunday, 25 years. And it's important for us to recognize that the priority of it is what it communicates to our family. This is important. Here in South Florida, a lot of times when family comes in from out of town, instead of people saying, well, we're going to church, it's like, well, I've got company. What can I do? I got to go to the beach. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to try that as pastor. Where is he this Sunday? Well, he had some company and he's at the beach or he's playing golf. You know, that's one thing I do miss about the Bible Belt is the priority of that. Company comes, they go worship Jesus together. A lot of times they don't want to, but they're there, you know. And so we see this importance of giving to the Lord his worship and then give to the ministry, verse 27. And you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. It's morally a debt to give to the Lord and to give to the ministry, to give to the things of God in a supernatural way. In Psalm 81:10, the scripture says, I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God promises to bless us. And in Ecclesiastes 5:10, he says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. John D. Rockefeller was the first billionaire in the United States. And in 1913, he was worth $900 million. And at that point, his wealth was 3% of the gross domestic product of the United States. John D. Rockefeller, that one man. He was asked one time, how much money does it take to satisfy? And he looked at the person, he said, one more dollar, one more dollar. And this is what scripture says, that we will ultimately never be satisfied with the abundance of income because it's vanity. And we see in scripture that he talks about another of other principles as well in relationship to that. In Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he desires to provide for us. In relationship to giving to the ministry, in Proverbs, we see in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so God gives us the ability to produce wealth. These are a few principles I want to share with you quickly as we close. He gives us the ability to produce wealth. You think that you gained your income and gained your wealth because of your own great abilities. Well, those abilities were given to you by God. In Deuteronomy 8:18, he says this, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." He promised to bless you, and he will. He'll reach out to you. And we can't serve God and money. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says this, "No one can serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve them both. You've got to choose between the two and place it as a high priority. And then money should be gathered gradually. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, "Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it." New Century Translation says, "Money that is gathered little by little will grow." And this is where people make the mistake. And this is back to the sum total of all the parts. Every time we turn the lights off in an empty room, we're adding to our finances. Every time when Kim and I leave town, if we go on a vacation or we're away on a mission trip, we will turn the air conditioners up in the entire house a lot higher than we would be comfortable with if we were staying there. And these things add up. Everything adds up, and people don't think that way anymore. In fact, when they're buying a vehicle, they don't ask how much is the vehicle. What do they ask? What's the monthly note? And now they don't even buy vehicles. What's the lease? And then they never own a vehicle. And then they always have a note. And the Christian financial advisors recommend that you save up money and buy cash. And I would recommend that you buy certified vehicles. Kim and I have bought some Hondas, certified. And the warranty on a certified Honda is better than a new one. It's 10 years or 100,000 miles. And, you know, that's, and then you're winding up getting the car. And with the internet now, you can look up all the prices in an area and you can almost go tell them what you're going to pay for it. And they recognize that and they acknowledge that, that you'll come in educated and be able to do that. And it gives you a lot of sway if you've come to that place in your life where you're doing life that way. Trade-ins a lot of times. Of course, now is a whole different market because of computer chip problems and all that. Used cars. If you've ever thought about selling your used car or a used car, now is the time to do it. One of our young men who works in our preschool sold a car, his used car, and he was trying to get $3,000 and he got $4,000 because there's such a shortage that it wound up being a bidder's market. And he said, "I could not believe I got $4,000 for that car." And now is the time, if you have an extra vehicle, an older vehicle, now's the time to sell it. And, you know, in fact, I would give you an option where if you're a member here, a tithing member, that you can display it right here by our church and we'll watch it for you on that space. There's a wonderful circulation here. Myself and some of our staff members have sold cars here from a parking space, and then everybody here will see it all week, and it'll give you a safety place to do business and that sort of thing. So just contact us and let us know. But selling it yourself, a lot of times you'll make more money on it than trade-in. But a lot of people, now, Carvana and some of these things now, one of our members said, "I couldn't believe it. We were selling, I think it was a Ford Explorer. And we called Carvana and they said, we'll give you $38,000 and change, whatever it was. And they came like within a couple of days with a truck, handed them the check, loaded the truck, and they're gone. And they were able to move that vehicle that they didn't want or need at that point. And so in relationship to these things, money should be gradually gathered. The people that win the lotteries, it destroys most of their lives. Why? There's several reasons. Number one, they're buying lottery tickets, and a lot of times they're not managing their money. And when they get it, they blow it. And then all their relatives say, you didn't work for it, you didn't earn it, it was given to you, give me some. Or we're not family anymore. I'm not your brother anymore. I'm not your sister. I'm not your son. I'm not your daughter. And they go through all these personal, emotional things when they become this instant millionaire. If you work for it, scrape for it, used your $5 coupons and saved it your whole life, then nobody's going to think they have a right to come and try to take from you that, unless they're a thief, but stay away from those. But we see in relationship to this that he says in Scripture that true wealth is gradually, and we have the power of compounding interest, one of the great financial miracles of our age, where you can have interest work for you. And then we see also we're to plan ahead financially, Luke 14:28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down, calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? And this is where you monitor your finances and you respond to it accordingly and plan for it. You are intentional, and you're not sporadic. You're not impulsive with your finances. And then don't co-sign for others. And don't co-sign for others. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. But in labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. And that's not the verse I was looking for. But in relationship to Scripture, he does say that you're not to sign for the debt of another, because then you wind up becoming a slave to them.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.